Well, this is a month of honor, and today I want to speak in honor of senior adults. May has been designated since back in the time of Kennedy even as a month to honor older Americans, and it used to be senior Americans. They changed it to older. I don't know which one I like better or not. I think the Democrats changed it to older. I'm not sure, but anyway. It's what they say. It's what they call it. And some of you may not really appreciate being part of that number. I'm just a couple of years away, and it seems like now it should be older than it is. But if you're 60 or older, would you just do me the honor, the pleasure of just standing right now if you're 60 or older? And we got some that are a lot older in that category. God bless you all. That's a big part of our church right there. Let me just see if anybody's willing to acknowledge this real quick. I'm trying to figure out who the oldest person is here today. I know Brother Lambert is 90. Sister Lambert's like a couple of months older, but 91. I'm looking. Everett Roach. Everett, are you here today? Everett's 94. So we got some age, we got some experience in our groups. That is awesome. Interesting to note, this has been going on for the last few years, but about probably 10 years ago this happened, and it's been getting a little bit stronger every time now. There are more senior adults in the United States of America than there are teenagers. But there's three times the energy in the teenagers that there is in the senior adults. In 2015, there were almost 50 million senior adults aged 65 plus in the United States. That's about one out of six almost. But by the year 2060, which sounds like forever away, but that's 40 years away from now, the projections are that number will reach 100 million. So it's a big deal. There are currently about just over 70,000 centenarians. I had to make sure I say that right. People that are 100 or more in the United States, there's 70,000 plus in that category. The oldest person in the United States, as of this week, you never know what's going on, but is 113 years old. And that's a different category called the super centenarians. Once you get past 110, they should have their own category. You know what I'm saying? And we just had, about a month ago, Henrietta Downey went home to be with the Lord, and she was 105 out of our church family. So the reality is that people are living longer. They call it the graying of America. And there are many thoughts as we look at old age and older age and what happens with that. One person said, old age is like everything else. To make a success of it, you've got to start young. Bob Hope was asked, how do you define old age? He lived to be 100. Said, how do you define old age? He said, old age is when the candles cost more than the cake. For Henrietta's birthday, we had a cake and we put 100th birthday, we put 100 candles on there. And when they got all those things lit, I thought, seriously, we need to call the fire department. It was like unbelievable to see 100 candles all burning at the same time. We didn't make her blow them out because that would have just been too much to go for. The Bible talks about people who are older with some very clear points of definition. And by the way, I don't have notes for you today. We don't have screens today because this is old-fashioned Sunday. So I just got my stuff and you just have to put up with it. So the Bible talks quite a bit about older people and how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to respond to them. Leviticus 19:32 says this, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. And you notice the tie-in there that Leviticus, Moses writes and says in Leviticus 19 that honoring elderly people is connected with your relationship to God. It is a mandate for every believer in Jesus Christ to honor people who are older. Job 12:12 says, wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days, understanding comes. Proverbs 16:31 says, the silver-haired head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. In other words, it's not automatic, but it comes and should be honored when it's in the way of righteousness. So I want to talk about a few things today, just kind of quickly. Number one is this. The reality of life is that even you guys over here, front row on my left, you're going to be senior citizens one day. Now, right now, you're going, yeah, whatever. I'm saying the same thing, too. It's way out in my future. A whole 23 months from now to 60. I just think today it ought to be 65, though. I just feel like we need to make that move right now. But it comes, and it comes quicker than you realize. And here's what I want to tell you in the first point of my thoughts today is this. That the way that you prepare for being a, I'm going to give you a word here, I'm going to say a elder saint. Elder simply means that you're older. Saint means you're in relationship with God where He has declared you to be His child. If you're an elder saint, if you want to be an elder saint, you got to start now. Whether you're 12 or whether you're 62 or 82, if you want to be an elder saint, you need to start now. One thing I've discovered in life is there's no magical moment when everything just falls into place. We kind of grow up feeling that way when we're young. We can't wait till we turn 16 and we're able to drive, and that's going to be a magical moment. And then, you know, you get your driver's license, but your car doesn't have any gas in it. Or you get a flat tire, or worse of all, you have a wreck, and all of a sudden you realize this isn't so magical. And there are other ages, you think 21, you know, now I'm reaching adulthood, or for all of you OSU fans a few years back, I'm 40, I'm a man. All of these things happen along the way where we feel like there's supposed to be a magical moment where things automatically fall into place. I'm a certain age, so now I have wisdom. Well, the truth is, there's no fool like an old fool. And just because we gain years does not put us in that category of being an elder saint. And the problem is, if we're not careful and we don't change our process of thought sometime along the way, American culture today looks at church like this. What can I get from it? What will they provide me? I need help. I need encouragement. So I'll go there and I'll get everything that I need. And we look at church like we look at a grocery store or a restaurant. When the reality is, God wants each one of us to see a church not only as a place where we receive, yes, that is part of the process, but equally important is what do we give? How do we connect? I've had this conversation with different people through the years, and I'll let you in on it now. Sometimes people will say to me, you know, I wish our church was just more, fill in the gap, whatever word you want to put there. And I've had them come to me in meetings, Pastor, I need to meet with you and talk to you about our church. I wish our church was more friendly. Here's how I typically respond. I'm glad you've noticed that. I've been praying the same thing. I want to ask you to help me to make our church more friendly. Amen. Pastor, I wish our church was more spiritual. Glad you brought it up. Would you step up and help us get to that level? Pastor, I wish we were more evangelistic. Well, I'm glad you think that way. Have you talked to your neighbor? You don't even have to talk to him anymore. Michael and RJ just showed us. You can send them a text, even without words, and help them. Do you understand that if we're not careful, we get old, but we don't grow up? Growing old, one of my favorite phrases, growing old is mandatory. Every day you wake up, you're one day more than you were the day before. Those birthdays roll around every year. When you're little, it seems like it takes 5 years for them to get here. As you get older, it seems like I had one last week. They roll around quick. growing old is mandatory, but growing up is optional. It takes your commitment. And I want to talk to you just in this first point about what do you want to be in the last part of your life? If you want to be something, then start today on getting there. And here's, for you that are young, the good news is the younger you start, the better it will be. But if you're older and there are things in your life that aren't right, there's still time for you. You say, you know, I've always wanted to have a better prayer life, then start today. I've always wanted to understand the Word of God better. Well, then come to Sunday school, get some books, come to church, do all that you can to grow in God and get stronger. Start today in becoming the person you want to be. Conversely, might I tell you that if you allow bad things into your life, bad attitudes into your life, the older you get, the stronger they will become. Do you know what old age does? It doesn't really change our character. It just makes it more clear and more concrete. And people who were bitter when they were young, oh my goodness, as they get older, everything in the world is awful except them. Make a decision right now to put the right things in your life every day. Make a determination that you're going to grow sweeter as you get older. One of my favorite verses, I may come back to it in just a minute with some more thought here, but Psalm 92, 12 through 15 talks about this. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing in old age. You know, there are few things more attractive and beautiful than an elderly saint who is filled with the presence of God in their life. The peace that they have is just, it's another level. The joy that they have is beyond what I can grasp sometimes. But it all happens because they continue to grow in God. Well, the second thing, let me talk about just for a minute or two here, is so how do we treat elder saints? What's our approach toward elder saints? And I specifically say this, the younger you are, the more it applies to you, okay? We treat them as we treat all people, but with a little bit of awareness, with respect and dignity. We recognize the contributions they have made and the treasure they are today. So on behalf of this church, if you're in that senior adult category, I just express my deep appreciation for you today. I consider you to be a treasure in our church. I understand that probably you're not going to do things that you used to do. I've got that, but your worth is not determined by your activity. So maybe there's a time where you're not in the leadership role anymore, but always be available to encourage, to pray, to speak words of help to those who are in need. You know, there are a few things, again, that are more precious, more beautiful than a senior saint, an elder saint who just loves God and loves people. I like being around those kind of folks. They bless my life. They make me a better person. But I've talked about this before. There are some people, when you see them at the store, you're kind of hoping they didn't see you first. They're sour. This is all ages, by the way. They gripe. They complain. By the way, the children of Israel, when they're in the wilderness, you know one of the marks of their culture and of their nature that got them in big trouble is they did not praise, but instead they grumbled. I'm going to let that just simmer for a minute right there. Can I encourage you today to be a person who praises God at all times? David said it so many places in Scripture when he talked about your praises will continually be in my mouth. There will never be a moment I'm not praising you, God. We get better as we walk with God when we praise Him rather than grumble, gripe, and complain about what we don't like. If there's a problem out there, then you be a part of the solution. The third thing, how to act as an elder. And I want to go to a couple of verses here for you. Titus chapter 2. Paul says to Titus. Titus is the pastor at Crete, by the way. And he is Paul's, one of Paul's son in the faith. Timothy is also, but so is Titus. And so Paul writes to Titus, and it's this little 3-chapter book. Read it this week. You'll be blessed by it. And he's telling Titus, as the pastor, how to lead the church. In chapter 1, he says, the foundation of your church's health will be the leaders in your church. That's where you start. If the leaders aren't healthy spiritually, the church doesn't have a chance. That makes a lot of sense. Chapter 2, at the very beginning, he starts out, now that we've got leadership where they need to be and talk about what they need to do, he says, let me talk secondly about older adults. And he says, teach older men sound doctrine, verse number 2 of Titus 2, that they would be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. I'm not going to take a lot of time to unpack this. The words stand on their own merit, their own value. He says, teach older men, first of all, to be sober. Now, what does sober mean? It's not just talking about alcohol there, although that certainly would be a provision of this, but he's talking about an attitude of awareness, alertness, and having sensitivity to what's going on. Teach them to be thoughtful. Teach them to think clearly. To see things with the seriousness that should be ascribed to life. You know, the Bible's very clear in these issues. Diversity is the way that God created us to be. So there's a lot of different aspects of who we are. I could have gone to this other thought here that I had some thoughts on. The reality is there's very few things more enjoyable than elder saints who have a great sense of humor. By the way, just for what it's worth, hanging out with elder saints is easier because pretty much, Pastor Mike, they laugh at all of our jokes. They're easily entertained. I love it. I feel good when I'm around senior adults who love God. And having a sense of humor is very vital for life. Proverbs tells us that laughter does good like a medicine. It's good to laugh. But you don't have to give up an awareness of what life is all about. There's the balance of keeping that all in place. We see life with a sense of awareness and seriousness that men's lives hang in the balance, and we must be strong in our proclamation of the gospel. Paul says men are to be sober, they're to be reverent. In other words, they're to be aware of God, to recognize his presence at all times. They are to be temperate. People who walk in moderation, people who have patience, perseverance, people who that do what they need to do, they should be sound in their faith. The longer we walk with God, the stronger our faith should become. Now, if your faith is not where it needs to be, just like if your muscles aren't as strong as they need to be, exercise them. Begin to exercise your faith. Begin to speak out and declare that you trust in God. You believe in his word. You stand on his promise. You know, the Bible says this very clearly. The devil is the author of confusion. One of his main tools and weapons. He tries to play in our mind word games and all sorts of things that confuse us and leave us uncertain. And I love as the devil tried to bring confusion and distraction to Jesus in the time of temptation in the wilderness. You remember that, what happened? Matthew chapter 4 right there. He's bringing all these things and he's making these statements and he's trying to twist the truth. And every time he brings something to the Lord, you know what the Lord says? It is written. He did not say, this is what I think. He did not say, this is how it appears. He said, it is written. And may God help all of us, regardless of your age, to be sound in your faith, to stand on the promise of God, to believe his word, to learn it, to love it, to hold to it, to taste and see that the Lord is good. Be strong in your faith. Faith comes from the word of God. Be strong in love. Interesting. Paul says to Titus, one of the foundational truths of being a beautiful elder saint for the men is that they're sound in their love. Now, love is not just some mushy, gushy feeling that just how I happen to feel this moment. If you want to understand love better, read 1 Corinthians 13. Love always believes the best, never assumes the worst. Love always perseveres. Love always reaches out. Love always forgives. And he says to the men, you need to be strong in love, strong in patience. Often I've heard people say, I don't want patience because I know how that comes. Let me tell you something. Those things are going to come whether you get patient or not. If you think you found the secret formula that will somehow cause you to be able to escape all issues of life, call me when you realize it's not true, because you're going to be in trouble. The reality is problems come. Our choice is in how do we respond to them. When the problem comes, we hold fast to the hand of God, to the promise of God. We stand in his truth, and therefore we gain strength and we overcome and we are patient to receive the prize that he gives to us. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior. That's an interesting thought there. He says reverence is not only a mentality or an attitude, it's an action. And God help us men and women to act in such a way that reflects the fact that we are children of God. I don't know what kind of parents you had. I don't know what kind of parents I had. My parents were loving and kind and gracious. Brother John knew my mom and dad from way, way back when. But there was a very clear understanding in our household. It wasn't even said that often, but it was understood very clearly. Son, your last name is McCarty, just like my last name. You better act according to your name. And if I got out of hand, I had a mom, I had a dad, I had brothers, that they would make sure that I remembered what my name was and what it meant. Listen to me. You are a child of God. You're a child of God. Act that way. Be filled with the love of God. Be filled with faith. Be filled with the power of God at work in your life. Be a child of God. He says, teach them to behave reverently. Interesting. Not slanderers. The word for slander there in the Greek is very closely akin to a Spanish word that you probably know, diablo. That's what the word is in the Greek, diablo. Here's what Paul, it means devil, by the way, if you didn't know. Here's what Paul is saying. God gave each one of us a mouth, and he assigned specific purpose for your mouth. Your mouth is designed, number one, to praise God. That's why you have a voice. Animals don't have that voice. They still praise God just as creation does, but not the way that we do. We have a voice to praise God. Secondly, we have a voice to bring edification to people who hear us, to build them up, to make them stronger. But the great gift that we have of speech, the devil is always the great perverter of every gift that God puts on the planet. And he takes our speech and he wants to twist it so that instead of it being beneficial, it becomes destructive. Instead of glorifying God, it is filled with complaints. Can I say to every elder saint in the room and those who want to be elders one day, elder saints one day, let your mouth be filled with the praise of God. Let your mouth speak words of edification that build up, that don't tear down. And do not slander, do not gossip, but rather speak those things that bring health, that bring goodness. I was teaching a class a couple of weeks ago. I taught it a couple of Saturdays for people who want credentials. It's called School of Ministry in Oklahoma. And I was doing a session on conflict management. And one of the questions in the thing says, how should the pastor deal with gossip? And I didn't really like the answer they gave. It was okay, but their first is a multiple choice. The second answer was the right one, letter B, and it says, have them come to you and deal with it directly. The first one was letter A. It said, forbid it. That's the one I prefer. Just stop it. There's no place for it. As a child of God, you are not granted the privilege of gossiping about people. It's wrong. It's diabolical. Be people who speak truth, people who lift up, let positive, good things come out of your mouth. And as my parents used to tell me, and as if you've heard before, if you don't have anything good to say. It's amazing how those truths come back. He says, not given to much wine and teachers of good things. In other words, I don't have time to break that all down there. But when we begin to yield control of our body to things that will distort us and cause us to think in ways that are destructive and not productive, we're on the wrong path. I'll try to be as clear as I can with this comment. Periodically, people want to debate about alcohol and is it right, is it wrong? If you take a drink, does that mean you're a sinner? Let me be very clear. I can't find in the Bible a place that says if you have a glass of wine, you're going to hell. But what I do find is this. I find Paul's words to the church at Ephesus, and he prefaces his comments with this thought. Do not be foolish, but be wise. He goes on from that phrase to say, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to wrong decisions, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Now, it's not hard at all to make this connection. It's very clear, very obvious. There's two other things in there, too, by the way, dealing with time, and you can look at it and see it later. So drinking alcohol, to me, is not a matter of sin or no sin. It's a matter of wise or foolish. And Paul, in his writing to the church at Ephesus, says, and this is typical even of the book of Hebrews, there is an option. But now there's something better. Hebrews says, I show you a better way. Faith in Jesus Christ. Here is what Paul would say concerning alcohol, in my opinion. And by the way, alcohol, listen how I'm saying this. Don't misquote me or misunderstand me. Alcohol in the day of Paul was not as dangerous as it is today. For this reason, they didn't have cars back then. Now, that's a very simple point, but it really needs to be understood. I haven't had thousands of conversations, but I've had probably a dozen of people who have began to drink, maybe at a meal, maybe wherever. And it's from my perspective, enormously rare for anybody to be able to distinguish when they're getting close to having too much. That line gets very blurry. And I probably have 10 to 12 times been involved in conversation with someone who said, I did not realize that I had passed the mark where I had lost ability to make good decisions. To put it real blunt, didn't realize I was drunk. And I got in my car to drive, and then bad things happened. It seems to me the smartest thing that we have is the better option. Don't get drunk with wine. And the best way to avoid that is just don't drink at all. That's my personal conviction. That's my personal practice. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit does more good for you than the spirits. Be filled with the Spirit. I'm not trying to be argumentative. I'm not trying to be legalistic. I want to be very clear. I would strongly encourage everyone in the room to find your joy, to find your escape by getting with the Holy Spirit and letting Him work in your life. And the work that's done there is positive and productive.
Amen.
The bottle will never satisfy. Let me wrap up with this thought right here. I gave it to you while ago a little bit. Psalm 92, 12 through 15. And I declare this for all who will receive it today for your life. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. If you believe that's you, say amen. I'm a child of God. I'm going to flourish like a palm tree. Palm trees are awesome. Hurricanes come and those palm trees, they'll go all the way down to the ground and they'll come right back up. They just take whatever comes their way. They keep living. They keep going on. And they just have, I mean, honestly, when you look at a palm tree, isn't the vibe of a palm tree chill? It's all good. The Bible says you're going to flourish like a palm tree. You will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, strong and powerful. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. I read about John Wesley. He was preaching up until he was 85. And when he turned 85, he was just somewhat disappointed that he only had the strength to preach twice a day at 85. We're all going to have different journeys. We're not all going to be like that, but thank God that he renews our strength. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So here's how I want to ask you to respond today. If you will join me and you would say, I want to make a commitment to get stronger and sweeter. That's the palm tree and the cedar. I want to get sweeter and stronger every day that I live. I want God to fulfill his purpose in my life, whether you're 12 or 92 or wherever in between, over or under. Will you join me in a new, fresh commitment today to say, I want God to use my life for his glory, and I hope that as I get older, I get better, I get wiser, I get sweeter, I get stronger, and every time the devil thinks of me, he gets a headache because he realizes that God is going to work in my life to accomplish his will. If you're here today and you'd make that commitment, would you just stand to your feet right now?